verse 14 through 16. A commandment from God. A commandment from God. Let's read 13 also with it. That's where the sentence begins. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word today. Pray your blessings upon it, that you might help us and keep us. These words might be beneficial to us in our daily walks. And when we are able to share the gospel with other people, that they might understand this is a commandment from God. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
A commandment from God. Now, two Sundays ago, we talked about wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, meaning when he returns, the second coming. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. In other words, before you were taught the scriptures, and before you were converted, when you were in your ignorance and didn't understand the truth of the gospel. As obedient children, because that's why we call him Father, for we are his children. And we're also children of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as brothers with the Lord Jesus. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That means a manner of living, how you live in everything that you do. Be holy, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy, and we are to be like our Father. If you call on the Father, the next verse says, we're to be like him. We're to be holy. Now, we miss the mark tremendously, terribly. We fall short of being holy, terribly. Like I told you before, and I told people this week, if the apostle said, I'm the least of the saints, what am I? So if the apostle considered himself to be the least of the saints and the least of the apostles, we miss the mark greatly. That does not mean that we are not supposed to continue to do everything that we can to be holy and to live a holy life and to be holy before the Lord in everything that we do, in our conversation, in our manner of living, in the things that we talk about, the things that we do. We ought to always remember what the Scripture says that we're not supposed to do, and do those things that the Scripture says that we ought to do. That's a commandment from God. There's no doubt about it. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, he says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, which we are not to be doing anymore. That's the way we used to live, in our ignorance. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Therefore, our lives are to be His. We give Him our life because He saved us from our sins. And that's how we're supposed to live our lives. Chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "Let no man deceive you." In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words." That word vain means empty. Empty words that have no meaning, that have no purpose to them. "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." I know that doesn't sit well with a lot of people, even to read something like that, but that means exactly what it says. Don't be deceived by empty words, useless words, deceiving words. "For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." You say, well, it certainly doesn't look like the wrath of God is coming upon them. It is. It is. You just hang on. You be patient. You'll be patient, because them that went on before and lifted their eyes being tormented within the flames of hell fire is being tormented by the wrath of God. Wherever they may be in hell, of course, I believe there's different degrees of punishment in hell for different people. And then chapter 4 of this same book that we're in, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2 says, "That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." That's how we are supposed to live our lives every day. And so when we get up in the morning, it's important that we get the right frame of mind started. First, asking God to help us today and thanking Him for today. Every morning, as sorry as I am and as least of the saints as I am, I still have enough sense from reading the scriptures that when I wake up in the morning to say, "Thank you, Lord, for this day. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this day. I got another day, another opportunity to do better than I did yesterday. Thank you for this day, and have mercy on me and forgive me of my sin." "For as much then," in chapter 4, 1 Peter 4 says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." That's how we are to live our lives each and every day. Verse 3 of the same chapter. "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead." Isn't it something how that evil people will do everything they can to lead you down the same path that they go? And it's always the bad boys and the bad girls that want to deceive good people that's trying to live good lives to drag them down with them. And when you won't go down that path with them, then they speak evil of you, just like the scripture says here in 1 Peter 4. "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk and the newness of life. That's Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. The same commandment of how we're supposed to live our daily lives. We are buried with Him, meaning the Lord Jesus. We are buried with Him by baptism into death, meaning that our old life is dead and we are to be raised to a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we're to live our lives. Like we've been raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. Lord, have mercy on us and help us. Walk in the newness of life. That didn't come naturally. That's not a natural thing. We are born sinners. We are born evil. Even little babies, even my little grandchildren, they just evil little things. They will walk, waylay, do things that they know they're not supposed to do because that's just in them to do it. And it's in all of us to do it. So it's not a natural thing for us to walk in the newness of life. It's not natural for us because we're fallen children of Adam. And our hearts are evil. The Bible says the heart is evil. And it wants to always go back to the old way. So it takes work. It takes a renewing of the mind by reading the Scriptures and by praying and having communion with God. Having communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Remembering what He did for us while He walked on this earth. What He did for us when He was on the cross. What He did for us when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And sweat drops of blood were dripping off of Him. And Him praying, "Not my will, but Thy will be done." Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That just comes from reading and studying the Word. And praying. There's a lot of people that have read the book that never understood anything spiritually. They didn't get it. They might know the words that it says, but it didn't click with them in their heart because they were yet lost in their sins. So I don't care how good you know the book. You've got to have the prayer that goes with that and being born from above and a hunger and a thirst after righteousness in order for it to help you on a daily basis. And that's what we have to do. Be not conformed to this world. You understand what conformed means? Don't let the world mold you and make you like it wants to or like they want to. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, filling it with the Word of God, filling it with prayer and communion with our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, and God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, so that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind on a daily basis. That's how we do it. Lots of prayer. Now back to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 18 through 22. Let's read 17 also with it. "And this I say, therefore," the apostle says to the church at Ephesus, "this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk," because the Ephesian church was mostly Gentiles, "in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, that's how we are in the natural. Before we were born from above by the Spirit of the living God. That's how we are. Having our understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's the natural man. That's unconverted people. I don't care how much they go to church. I don't care how much they read the book. They're still that way. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, that's evilness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That's the way we are naturally. And look, it takes work. It takes work not to go back to that. Even the song that we sing says that we're prone to wander. We're prone to go back to that way. The devil is going to tempt us and tempt us and tempt us and try to get us to go back into darkness. It takes work. It takes a renewing of the mind. And the more you renew your mind with the Word of God, better off we are. And this I say, this is in Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Same commandment that he gave in 1 Peter, and in all the other scriptures that we've read, the same commandment is for us to walk the way we're supposed to with the Lord Jesus Christ. Built up in him. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. That's empty deception. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also we are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him, through faith to the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Now that's how we're supposed to live. And it's in him that we're rooted and built up. Only in him. And that's just not a phrase. That's just not a saying. That's an actual phenomena that happens to us as we read and study and pray and hunger and thirst and seek him. We become rooted and built up in him. If you don't ever read the scriptures and pray and have communion with the Father, if you don't remember on a daily basis to ask God to forgive you of your sins because we're sinful people, then you lose that being built up in him because you lose being in him. Being in him means being in his word and being in communion with Him, having conversation with Him, praying to Him, and listening to Him. Like I said, it's a work. It doesn't come natural to us. We have to try to do it. We have to plead with God to help us do it. Now I lost my place. Oh. Oh, I'm still in the same book. Colossians chapter 3 now. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. I'm in chapter 3, verse 1. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We heard a song the other day, one of them bluegrass gospel songs. I think it was me and Regina. It said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. I thought, that's pretty good. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Christian people should not have a fear of dying. They know where they're going. They know what's happening to them when they leave this earth. We're not ignorant of those things. We know that when we close our eyes in death, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We know we're going. So we need to seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We need to set our affections on things above. We need to be having a great desire after those things that are above, where Christ is. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Those kind of things we need to keep on our mind. We need to remember. And the only way that we can set our affections on things above is to have that communion with the Lord. Praying to Him and hungering and thirsting after spiritual knowledge that comes from the Scripture and the Holy Spirit living inside of us. I forgot who I was talking to the other day, and they were talking about the church. When they pass by and see a meeting house, they say, there's the church. Well, no, it's not. That's not the church. This is just a meeting house. This is where we gather ourselves together. Believers are the temple of God. Believers. The Holy Spirit. God lives and dwells inside the believer. Not in a building. Not in a building. Not in a building in Jerusalem. Not in a building here. He lives and dwells inside of His people. And those kind of things, and understanding those kind of things, knowing that the Holy Spirit lives within us, is how that we keep our minds and our hearts having affection toward those things that are above. Having communion with Him. Not doing what verse 5 says. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now you also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Jesus Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. In other words, putting up with one another. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. These are the ways that we're supposed to live. We put off the bad stuff, which it names, and it names it in almost every epistle. We put off the bad and we put on the new, so that we walk with the Lord. And we're in Him. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 is a very important scripture. Let's start at verse 22 of Acts 17. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with the inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything." You'd be surprised how many people think that God needs something. I'm talking about people that claim to be and call themselves Christian people think that God needs something. They think that God needed man so that he could show his glory through man. I thought, how ignorant. Have you not read the book? Do you not read the words in the book when you read it? "Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for ye are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that God, the Godhead, is likened to gold and silver and stone engraven by art and man's device." Well, that's what the Gentiles have always done. It was only the Hebrews that God had mercy on and taught them through prophets and the writings of Moses and the prophets how not to be that way. How not to make things golden and silver and stone and whatever they made it out to worship. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. A commandment from God. God commands all men everywhere. The times of this ignorance of the Gentiles making things and building things and worshiping them as though they were gods, he said, I winked at. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysus and the Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with them. Don't forget that. That last little part. Don't forget it. Now he was in a place where there wasn't nothing but a bunch of idol worshiping heathens. And they were worshiping this idol that they call the unknown God. That wasn't anything. And some of them believed. Don't forget that. Went and got my wife a recliner. And when I was around back where they loaded it, there were 6 or 8 men standing back there. And I thought, well, you know, I won't be popular with them. And I just asked them, I said, hey, how many of you fellas went to church Sunday, Easter Sunday? How many of you went to church? Not a one of them. One of them said, well, I went fishing with my daddy. I thought, well, good for you. At least you spent time with your daddy. I said, but let me tell you a story. You never know. You never know. Yeah, I cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, when I told them about the Lord Jesus coming down the road. And I said, you know, the Bible says that the people around him said, shut up, Bartimaeus. And the Bible says he cried the louder. And I said, that's not the good part yet. I said, the Bible said Jesus stood still. Now you're talking to heathens. They don't understand. It's not clicking with them yet. But you never know. I said, and Jesus said, call him to me. I said, now boys, that's the good stuff. I said, when you cry out for Jesus to have mercy on you, thou son of David, and he stops and says, call him to me, that's your blessed day. Don't miss it. You never know. You never know. It takes you using your mouth to witness to people in order for them to hear the gospel. Otherwise, they're not going to hear it. They're not coming through the door. That's the reason when I preach funerals, I don't preach about the people laying in the casket. They've done preached their funeral. I want to preach to them that never darkened the doors of a church. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I want them to know that one day the Lord Jesus is going to return and he's going to judge in righteousness. And you have been told today. Yeah, it makes them mad. They don't want to hear that. They come to hear you preach the person laying in the casket into heaven. That's how ignorant people are. Like you could do that. They want you to tell you how good they were and that they're in heaven today and everything's fine and lovely. Well, now most of them dead in hell. They don't want to hear that. But they need to hear that. They need to hear that. They need to understand that everybody's not going to heaven, and the great majority of people are going to hell. And that you better cry out to the Lord Jesus to save your rotten soul, because you're lost and undone without Him. And you're going to bust hell wide open and be in torment for eternity. Always, throughout all eternity, trying to pay the debt that we can't pay. Because Jesus only paid the debt for His people. I hope you understand that. If He paid the debt for me and I wouldn't come to Him, then He paid that debt for no reason. He didn't do that. All the people that He paid the debt for, He shed His blood for their sins, wore the crown of thorns, let them spit on Him, and scourged His back till you could see the bone. He didn't do that just for people that were not going to heaven. My sheep, He said, know me, and they follow me, and I will raise them up on the last day. We'll say amen there. It was a good day. Good to be with you today. We'll take up there in 1 Peter, Lord willing, next Lord's Day. Brother Guy, would you ask the Lord's blessings on us, and we'll be dismissed.